We're excited to announce that our very own podcasting platform, Zencastr, has become a new sponsor to the show. Check out the podcast discount link in our show notes and stay tuned for why we love using Zen for the podcast.
You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Archaeology Show. TAS goes behind the headlines to bring you the real stories about archaeology and the history around us. Welcome to the podcast. Hello and welcome to the Archaeology Podcast, episode 89. I'm Chris Webster. This is another recording for the Facebook Live show You Call This Archaeology from April 19th, 2020. Let's dig a little deeper. Hey everybody, Chris Webster jumping in just to tell you a little bit more about what this show is about. You're going to hear us starting off our discussion talking about some iPad video editing software, which has nothing to do with archaeology. But that's the whole point of this show. It's two archaeologists talking about the things that we're doing normally. And sometimes that doesn't have anything to do with archaeology. That's why the show is called You Call This Archaeology. Right now, a lot of people are working from home and doing different things. And we are doing our best to get our hobbies and our side hustles in order. And it's good to just talk about those things. So if you're not interested in this type of show, feel free to just fast forward on to the next one. But otherwise, it's just myself and Richie Cruz talking about things that we're doing, and sometimes we talk about archaeology and sometimes we don't. Enjoy the show. Cool. So yeah, man, it's been another busy week, just doing a bunch of podcast editing and working with DunSafe and keeping everything rolling. So
Before I forget, how have you been liking LumaFusion?
Well, it's not bad. It's it's got some idiosyncrasies that are a little bit frustrating sometimes. For example, I had a 11-minute drone clip that I was editing for the video that we put out today, actually. Yeah. And I wanted to start the video. I don't know if you saw the video or not, but I started it with like this expanding shot of Mono Lake. Really, that was a shot going the other direction, but I didn't have that. I wanted it to go this way. So I took that 7 seconds and I just wanted to reverse it. Right.
Yeah.
Well, if I do that in say ScreenFlow or any other audio editing program, it basically would just reverse that clip. Like if I chop it out of the 10-minute overall clip, it'll reverse that one clip right there and be done with it. But LumaFusion wanted to basically take the entire clip and make it reversible in order for me to reverse any portion of it. Now this is a one-time thing. So anytime I want to reverse another section of that clip for some reason, I can do it instantaneously, right? It doesn't need to process it. But it wanted to process the entire 11-minute clip and it took probably 30 minutes to do that. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm probably not going to reverse any more of this. And what if I had like an hour long clip or something like that? And I mean, most video pros are probably going to have a whole bunch of more shorter clips rather than longer clips, but still, you know, it was just irritating that I had to do that in order to get it to work.
You can just duplicate it.
Duplicate the, so clip it first and then duplicate the clip.
Yeah, you know, just like, you know, just hit copy and paste and then, you know, like name it like, you know, reverse.
Yeah, that might have worked. I don't know if it would have made the 7 second clip its own thing and then reverse that. That is a good point. I could try that next time.
Yeah, you know, as someone who's like worked with like regular video editing, it's like, you know, you just figure out all the ways to like get around everything eventually. Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know that I'm going to get more into it. I ended up having to abandon editing that video on LumaFusion. There's really two reasons. One, I just procrastinated all week and I wanted to have our video out for today. And I ended up, you know, getting it posted by 11:30 last night. And it's just easier for me to work on my computer with ScreenFlow because I know that app better. But I know I'm going to want to get into LumaFusion a bit more. I just need more time. Also, on ScreenFlow, I have templates set up and I'd have to set these templates up on LumaFusion or, you know, cause I was thinking I could get the whole thing edited together and then export it and then bring it into ScreenFlow for the final like music and text and all that stuff, just because I had templates for all that. But that wasn't going to work because I always time the first like 30 to 40 seconds of the video, I time it to the music, and I have different clips coming in on the downbeat, almost like a trailer for the, for that episode.
Yeah.
And I didn't have that music. I didn't have any of that in LumaFusion. So I need to figure out a way to bring all that in and see if LumaFusion will work off a template, first of all.
Yeah.
And because I couldn't see, it was a hair confusing to me at first to figure out even how to start a second video when I was already messing with the first one just as a trial. And then I started messing with the second one. I was like, how the heck do I see my library to make a new video? And that just that was not intuitive. And
interesting.
And even when I came in to switch back to the one that I was working on, I still couldn't find it. I had to look it up and then figure out where it was and get there. But I think overall as an iPad app, it's pretty functional and it's pretty great. It's got a lot of really neat tools. It's just, I need more time. I need more time with it to get proficient with it, because right now I don't have the time to just sit there and kind of like mess around with it. Like I'm always behind on everything I'm doing from a video editing standpoint, as you well know.
Oh yeah.
And it's just, it's just something that I need to just practice more with. So, but it's different enough to ScreenFlow that if I'm using both and going back and forth, it's going to be confusing. So, I just got to figure out how I'm going to do it.
You know, it's interesting, you've been having video editing issues and I've been having audio recording issues, because the video I am creating for August was going to be a bunch of B-roll and then me narrating. Mm-hmm. And so, not any issues with the software. So I've just been using Audacity, which is like so pared down. It's just like, super easy to figure out eventually.
Right.
The thing is, like, when you're trying to like do narration, everything, you realize how noisy your apartment can be. Like last, obviously everyone's at home now, and since no one's really going to work, I have to wait for everyone to like, to like go to sleep and for my apartment to get quiet. And then, I was listening last night, I was like recording and then playing it back, and I'm like, oh crap, I can hear my fridge. So then I had to time it between like my fridge going, turning and closing. And then when a car would drive by, I'd have to like, I'd have to like pause. So I had to cut out like a lot of just like blank spaces.
I mean, you've got a pretty decent microphone. I would think if you're close up on the microphone and you turn the gain down, that it would pick up less of those things and turn your compression down too.
Yeah, I did that too. But, today, like right before we went live, I was actually looking at sound blankets, not sound blankets, but moving blankets, since I know that supposedly works just as well.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, man, maybe I can build myself like a little enclosure. Or maybe, God, if I had more closets, I could just like use a closet. But I've got stuff in them.
Well, the quick hack to that, which I've done in hotel rooms before, I've recorded many podcasts in hotel rooms.
Yeah,
is really just and if I didn't have a heavy jacket, I used the because it was summertime or something, I'd use the comforter on the hotel bed, and I would just drape it over myself and the computer and the microphone, because I've recorded since I got my H6 and, better microphones, and that helps. But also back when I was using my H4N Zoom to do my recording, that's a dynamic microphone. And that thing is, what is that? It's a, what's the other type?
I know what you're talking about. Like it's, it's got a very wide pattern. Even if you point them.
Yes. Yeah, well, it's a condenser microphone. That's what it is. And condenser mics, like the Yeti and stuff like that, that people try to use, they pick up every tiny little pin drop sound in the room because they're designed to. And so if you don't have a sound dead environment, it's not going to work. So the H4 stereo mics on the end, which was what I was using for a long time, that's a condenser microphone, and it just picks up everything. It makes your voice all tinny, picks up everything. So I would have to a hotel room's always got some kind of a hum or noise or something, right?
Yeah.
It's just impossible to record in there. But sometimes I would just call it out too and be like, hey, I'm in my hotel room trying to get the noise covered down. So, but if you're doing like narration over other video, you can't really call that out. You gotta make sure that audio is clear and good. Yeah. So,
You know, what's interesting, now that I've been doing like this walking tour, like narrating this walking tour of Midtown, I learned so much about, like stuff I didn't know before. Like I didn't realize, because, I've been going around, obviously I've lived in Reno a long time, and I always wondered, why is every building here brick? And then, I learned through my cross-referencing of this walking tour that Reno had like one of the largest you know, brick manufacturers in the West. And, you know, and almost any brick building, at least after 1895 that you see in Nevada, basically had bricks from Reno.
Jeez, that's nice.
Yeah. And I also learned that this neighborhood, like, you know, the neighborhood here, this used to be like the outskirts of town.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that makes sense. I mean, towns were much smaller when they were started, and Reno was centered around the river. So,
yeah,
you know, they built, basically built Reno right on top of the old Paiute settlements.
Yay.
Yeah.
I also learned that Nevada was one of the few states to, I don't know if it's the only state that ever had like an official state architect.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Frederick Jaden Longchamps. He was, he basically was, most of the official looking buildings and nice looking buildings in Reno right up to about the, 1963 when he retired, basically he designed them.
Jeez. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I was learning all sorts of things. Like, this walking tour is surprisingly cool. I admit the website is pretty bare, but, I did a bunch of cross-referencing and, you know, added them to my video.
Yeah.
I also learned that you only needed to be a resident of Reno in, for 6 weeks before you get a divorce. And legalized gambling at almost the same time, basically 1931.
Well, I did a, that's crazy. And I did a, some presentation thing I did with a group I was with. And I had one of my friends who's a architectural historian come in. She's done work for me on some projects where I needed an architectural historian.
Yeah.
And she came in because she was very interested in the divorce industry, it was called, back in the 30s. Yeah. And when those rules went into effect, and there's a lot of houses in the area you live in of Reno that have like extra little, you know, we pretty much call them like mother-in-law houses or little add-ons now, but they were basically rented out to people getting a divorce so they could get their 6 week residency.
Yeah. And that's like most of the, that's the reason why so many apartment buildings, like my apartment's tiny and all these apartments are tiny because they were effectively like extended stay motels.
Right. Right.
Which is like super interesting. Like I was like going around, like some of these buildings I've been looking at, some of these little apartment buildings that are on the tour, like that's the only reason they exist is to be, divorce settlements or divorce cottages. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah. Well, speaking of videos, so I didn't watch it when it came out, but I watched your latest video on, what was the latest one you did that wasn't Happy Archaeology Fun Time? It was on like keeping.
Keeping yourself busy during the winter, which seemed like a better idea when, you know, because most of it was like stuff you could do outside and now we can't go outside.
Well, you know, I was going to say it is a good video for, I guess keeping busy during quarantine as well. And making sure you're still doing stuff because the crappy thing about the timing of this, of course, is, a lot of archaeologists are coming off of a pretty lean winter like usual, and maybe they saved enough, maybe they didn't, but either way, they're probably close to being out of money. And then bam, quarantine shuts down the field season for a lot of people. Although there are a number of people still working. I see plenty of job posts and different things still happening. So,
well, thing is, it makes me think of what Sonia said. Was it Sonia who's mentioned that, you know, when the field season starts, like this year, at least it's going to hit like a train where like suddenly everyone needs a bunch of people. And I think that's what all these postings are for, like getting ready for the field season. Cause I see like a lot of the postings that you normally see in like January and February, looking for field directors and stuff like that, and crew chiefs, like they're basically popping up now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, I just want to mention, we keep getting various numbers of people in, and I don't know how Facebook runs the live numbers. Like when I see somebody joined down below, some people show up as joined and some people do not. I don't know really how that counts. And then it doesn't tell you when they left either. Cause it says Lauren Huddleston, who we know lives in Reno here, has joined. And then it also says Carlton Gover, host of the, Life and Ruins podcast, one of the hosts. But I don't know if they're still there or not because it says we're down to one viewer now. So I'll just put a message here. Let us know you're watching. While I'm doing that, if you're listening to this on the Archaeology Show feed, then be sure to head over to facebook.com/ArcPodNet, ArcPodNet, and you can like that page and then get notified when we do go live. We're trying to do it every Sunday, and I'm sure until the field season hits, we'll be able to keep this going, especially under quarantine. And and just, you know, keep it rolling. So, yeah. But if you're not on Facebook, cause I know a lot of people are not on Facebook, then you can also find it over on Richie's resources at
Happy Archaeology Fun Time. And then I believe my Twitch channel is the Man in the Hat, but at least, I think that's how I set it up.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. It's under talk shows and podcast.
Nice.
Which is really cool. I didn't even realize that, Twitch did that. Oh,
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I was about to say there's someone watching now, but that's actually me on Twitch.
Nice. Well, speaking of Twitch, I may as well bring this up because I think I was talking about it either last time or the time before or a long time ago.
You're
something
talking
like
about, whatchamacallit? Oh, God, No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky, yeah. Well, I obviously don't have that much time to play it. And sometimes, you know, when I do sit down and play it, it's like 4 hours later and I'm like, oh, shit, I'm still playing. But it's usually late at night because I'm doing stuff during the day and it's just, you know, it goes nuts. But anyway, I'm really liking the exploratory aspect of it. And I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it'll get old. Like if you really want to play the game, you have to do a lot of mining and a lot of finding of elements to and metals to make things. And, you know, that's okay. But I don't really care that much about upgrading my ship and upgrading my multi-tool mining gun thing and all that other stuff. I mean, I want to upgrade things in order to do more exploration, which I can already tell. Not to get too geeky on this, but the hyperdrive on my ship only has a limited range. So if I want to go to other systems beyond that, I think you can probably like jump from shorter system to shorter system. But if I want to continue to explore and see new things, then, you got to upgrade. But I really like just like flying around a planet and looking around and seeing where there's settlements and checking things out. And it's really kind of cool. What I wish it was, I wish I was in a world, and I'm not really sure how No Man's Sky works, but I wish I was in a world where there's other people that you could randomly run into. Yeah. Maybe this is like that. Maybe there are other people in there and there's just not that many people playing or the universe is too large. But either way, I haven't found a search tool to find like where other people are. And I was in this one station thing and it seemed like there were other people in there because they were running around all weird. Like you would think an online thing would be like they were glitchy a little bit.
Yeah.
But I couldn't interact with them. There was no name. There was no interact with them. There was no talk to them. There was no anything. So I don't really know what was going on there. And then also when you first turn the game on, it says, you know, basically go into your game or it says join a server. And you have to, I guess, I don't even know how to share my server. I don't even know what it's called. So I wouldn't know how to join another one unless somebody gave me the instructions. But
well, I mean, I'm not sure how it works, but if you jump into a server, I think that's just like an open thing. It just like restricts the number of people in there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's my question. Can a bunch of friends or something just create a single server and go in whenever they want? And if you do that, let's say you're standing on the ground and you decide to exit the game, like what happens to your things, your spaceship, your stuff while you're out of the game?
Oh, nothing.
You know, can other people come and do stuff with it? Can they come and mess with your things? And I don't know. So
as far as I know, it's been years since I watched anything on No Man's Sky, but supposedly it just stays there, hopefully.
I was hoping because No Man's Sky came out right about the time the Archaeo Gaming podcast was starting to kick off on the Archaeology Podcast Network. And they ended up having a coordination problem and only did a few episodes and then shut it down. I would love to have another host take over the Archaeo Gaming. I mean, I don't mind playing games, but I definitely don't have the academic credentials and desire to analyze games in the way that they were going to be able to host that show. So we need to find somebody who does want to do that. But it was,
I was going to say,
it was,
Mr. Archaeo Thoughts.
Yeah, I'm sure he would do it. But he's way into his own YouTube stuff now. So I don't think he has the bandwidth to take something else on. Yeah. Yeah. He's really killing it on doing his own thing there, which is pretty cool. I like seeing that, especially since he was, you know, he's had some health challenges and things like that. And, a little bit. And that's why he was, you know, backing away from the CRMR podcast because he was a host on there for a while. But then started doing this YouTube thing and I think he's feeling better and just wants to keep that going. So more power to him.
You know what? I was going to mention, it seems like you're getting so much more use out of this, out of your current DJI mini drone, as opposed to your old big one, even though you seem to take them to the same places.
You know, I mean, there's a huge reason for that. I mean, the Mini is sitting right here in a box under my feet, whereas the Inspire would have been the entire box under my feet. Like, it would have been like a table. It wasn't that hard to set up. I mean, you could still set it up in yeah, you know, just a few more minutes, but which is pretty impressive. But it's just so big. It's just so enormous. And honestly, you can't fly it in that many more circumstances than you can the Mini, because
yeah, I was gonna say, it seems like you're getting the same like footage, or the same, like, you know, you're getting to the same places with it.
Yeah, pretty much. I would say one of the big differences is the Mini really is more susceptible to higher winds. And as you'll see in one of our future videos, I'm not sure which one it's going to be, but yeah, you know, we drove up to an old abandoned mine down near Carson City a while back, and yeah, I took the drone up there, and right near where the mine is, there's kind of a really tight valley, and yeah, I was trying to get some side scanning shots of the of the drone, taking a look at the mining equipment, yeah, and at some point I turned it back towards me, so it was just looking back towards us down the valley, yeah, where the truck was, and then all of a sudden the drone started just going backwards, and I don't know if it I actually haven't flown it since then, but I don't know if it glitched out or if it was the wind. I think it was the wind, and I couldn't overpower it. Like, I tried flying forward and overpowering it, and it just wasn't having it. And it stayed at the same altitude and flew back until it, because the landscape was increasing in altitude. Luckily for me, if it had gone the other direction, yeah, who knows how far it would have gone, right? Wow. But it was staying at the same altitude, so it was hitting the ground as it was coming in, yeah, and it ran into some bushes and chewed up one of the propellers. So, ooh, I mean, I've already fixed them and replaced them, because they gave me like four sets of extra propellers, so that's nice. Yeah. But
didn't you get the package with the propeller guards? Or am I wrong?
Well, I did, but those aren't for flying outside; they're for flying inside.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're so you can fly it indoors and run into walls and stuff and not hurt anything. You could fly it outside as like having some training wheels on if you're afraid of running into stuff, but it does limit the aerodynamics a little bit. You know, it'll limit the functionality a little bit. So, you know, that being said, it would probably make it a little heavier though, and have to handle the wind a little better too. So I don't know. Maybe I should bring them. They're hard to carry though. Chris Webster here for the Archaeology Podcast Network. We strive for high quality interviews and content so you can find information on any topic in archaeology from around the world. One way we do that is by recording interviews with our hosts and guests located in many parts of the world all at once. We do that through the use of Zencastr. That's Zencastr. Zencastr allows us to record high quality audio with no stress on the guest. Just send them a link to click on and that's it. Zencastr does the rest. They even do automatic transcriptions. Check out the link in the show notes for 30% off your first 3 months, or go to zencastr.com and use the code TAS. Looking to expand your knowledge of x-rays and imaging in the archaeology field? Then check out An Introduction to Paleoradiography, a short online course offering professional training for archaeologists and affiliated disciplines. Created by archaeologist, radiographer, and lecturer James Elliott, the content of this course is based upon his research and teaching experience in higher education. It is approved by the Chartered Institute for Archaeologists as 4 hours of training. That's in the UK, for those of you that don't know. So don't miss out on this exciting opportunity for professional and personal development. For more information on pricing and course structure, visit paleoimaging.com. That's paleoimaging.com. And look for the link in the show notes to this episode.
Well, that's the other thing. Cause you know, I'm not going to go grab it now since I'd have to like go through the whole thing of putting my headphones back in, but I got my new photo backpack. Cause you know, I had that big giant gray one that you've seen before.
Yeah,
but this one I got specifically to carry GoPros and at least one more small camera, because I got three GoPros in it right now, and nice, one DSLR. And that's what I've been going around downtown with, because last night I was out filming. God, I forgot. I want to say right in front of Shays, and like all these homeless people were wandering around. I'm like, man, maybe this is not the best idea to like be filming here.
Yeah.
That's also why I use my bicycle as my tripod, even though it's very, very unsteady. Like, you know, well, it's normally very steady, but the wind yesterday was insane, which is why I'm glad I'm not like, you know, I don't need the audio.
Yes. Hey, speaking of that, if you're going to be biking around, you ought to just swing by here. I'll socially distance give this to you, but, these things that you gave me the plans for to have them made.
Oh yeah.
These GoPro mounts. So I tried one out. I've tried it out yesterday for the first time.
Yeah.
Hooked it to a 1 liter tall, basically smart water bottle.
Yeah.
And, filled it about 3/4 of the way with water. I didn't want to fill it all the way up because
yeah.
I didn't want it to be unstable. So I filled it to about 3/4 of the way up or 2/3 of the way up. Yeah. Just thinking it would have all the weight on the bottom. And honestly, I forgot too, that I don't have the nut that goes inside this hole here. So without that nut, you can't tighten it down, but it's still new enough and the holes are still, you know, the holes are, so whoever designed this designed it perfectly because the holes are just the right size that you still have to, the typical GoPro screw doesn't go straight in. You have to kind of screw it in the first few times just to kind of loosen those holes up. So because of that, even without a nut on the end, it was tight enough to hold the camera upright. And that's what we used to film the first part of our video while we're sitting out here on our porch talking.
And
I've got it sitting
that.
Next to our fire table. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest reason for that is, I had the other GoPro overhead attached to our balcony here.
Yeah,
that was doing the time lapse, and I didn't bother going up and shut it off. That would have been the easy thing to do. Yeah. So I just let it run the whole time we were down there. Really, I could have gone up and gotten it because it had our little flexible tripod, and I've got another really nice like Manfrotto tripod here. But with all these accessories I've gotten with these two stupid GoPros, I only have one tripod mount.
Yeah.
So I was just looking on Amazon and it's not an essential piece of gear. So I don't actually even want to order it until we need it. But, they even said, we'll send this to you when we can, but I don't want to force somebody to run around a warehouse and buy me, you know, find me some stupid tripod mounts for my GoPro. So I'll wait until this clears up, but you can get like four of them for $8.
It's so, not bad actually.
No, it's not bad at all. You know, and there's not, let's just say there's not a lot of circumstances where we need to use, basically two tripods or two tripod mounts, but there are a few of them. And we'd like to get another one of those like GorillaPod style, handheld things. And it's going to require another tripod mount. So we need at least one more. So,
Cause I've got them on all my cases.
I'm sure you do. Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting how much I've been able to pare down my kit since I switched to, since I switched to GoPros. I still need like one more camera with like a zoom lens on it, but instead of going for a full size DSLR, I'm going to go for something smaller that'll fit in this backpack, you know, but, my God, it's amazing. You know, how much I've been able to pare things down. It's also amazing how much I'm still looking for like to, get a new DSLR for video recording. Yeah. Because it's a long story, but, you know, I figured, well, I'm off doing all this stuff with these places. I may as well get some stock video and, you know, try to sell it on Shutterstock, even though that is a terrible site.
What's terrible about it?
The terms.
Oh, you don't get enough money?
Well, actually, you can. That's the crazy part. Like, I've been watching YouTube tutorials where there are people who make their entire careers out of this. You know, they'd like go to these places and they get video. And I'm like, man, some of these places are so cool. Like, I should be doing that at the same time. But they don't really accept GoPro footage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, So I basically got both my backpacks out and have been ordering. I haven't been ordering like, you know, bunches of new stuff. I've mostly just been organizing like my big gray backpack. I realized I was looking at it, it's like, you know, it's 2/3. It's almost 2/3 empty, but it feels very cluttered because it's not well organized. So I basically ordered a bunch of stuff to organize it. And yesterday, you'll actually be interested in this. Yesterday, I was watching a video where someone had this like cable organizer. And he said his secret was to get a makeup bag, like a folding travel makeup bag. And then each little compartment, he just puts his like little adapters or his little cables or batteries. And it just like, you know, folds up and then, you know, you throw it in your backpack and it's like, wow, that is the smartest idea I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Especially since they're only 10 bucks.
Well, there's no problem with, repurposing something basically, you know?
You know what else is interesting to me about GoPros is the fact that all the batteries are, they're not forwards compatible, but they're all backwards compatible. So like I'm ready.
Yeah.
So I'm ready when I get my GoPro Hero 8, hopefully at some point.
Yeah.
Although man, do I really need four GoPros?
Well, I mean, if you get a good deal on one, you may as well have it, you know, even as a backup.
True.
Two is a good number for us. I think we'd probably want three later on. But I don't know.
Well, thing is, GoPro Hero 4s are so cheap, and you know, they've got the same audio quality as the 8. I don't know what happened to the, like, 5 through 7, but basically the 4 and the 8 are the ones that supposedly have the really good mics. But the 8 is waterproof and the 4 is not. So, you know, that's why I'm probably going to get one. That and the rear screen.
The rear screen, yeah, totally.
Some of the videos, like some of the videos that they're not going to be out for a couple of months, but, you know, I know when the camera's pointed at me because I'm just looking at the lens. But when I'm like looking, but when I was pointing them forward, I realized that I was not pointing them in the right direction because I can't see, because my original GoPros, the first two I got, don't have a screen on the back.
Right.
But they do make up for it in other ways, because one of those things I realized yesterday when I was doing my when I was playing around with my new GoPro is the fact that the I guess the at the point that they made the 4, they didn't have the processor capacity to have all the same frame rates. So it doesn't make a very good B cam.
So without a screen, how do you know what you're shooting at?
Well, it depends. Like, I mean, I was just guessing most of the time. And so sometimes I wasn't actually pointing it. Yeah. So I wasn't actually pointing it what I thought I was pointing at. So some of the videos, like, you know, I was like, the thing I was holding was like at the very top of the frame or maybe outer frame.
Right.
Which is why I specifically got the Hero 4 Silver, because that's the one with the screen.
Yeah. Well, hey, you just reminded me, thinking about accessories, because I know the media mod for the Hero 8 was supposed to be available come end of April, and I actually forgot about looking. And I just went and looked on the GoPro website because they're about the only ones that have had it. Yeah. Even remotely available, and it's add to cart. So really? I just bought it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
but God, it still says that it still says they're experiencing delays in shipping, due to the COVID-19 virus, but they're on the way. So at least it's not notify me when they're available. That's what it has been, because I actually just purchased it and paid for it. So, hopefully I'll get it. And I want to see how this camera works, because the biggest thing about the media mod, of course, is that you can attach other stuff, like another screen that you can point the other direction. You can attach a light, you can attach other microphones.
Well, that was the big selling point of the DJI action camera, is the fact that it has screen in the front.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty cool. So, looking forward to this.
Yeah, I think the only real issue I've seen, and it's for people who like record really long clips, is the fact that sometimes the audio can get out of sync.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Because GoPros, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, I haven't really recorded a very long clip on any of my GoPros, but DJI, they split up the audio clips, and sometimes when it's splitting up the clips, it it basically drops audio for like a second, which I think is all processor related.
That's weird, because GoPro splits up the clips too. It splits it at about 10 minutes. I haven't had a problem with it. It might only be when you're shooting 4K because of the processing time or something like that, because I haven't actually tried any of the shooting modes. So, but it does split up the clips for sure.
Yeah.
And it confusingly, I don't like the file naming system that it uses when it does it personally. It's really hard to figure all out. But when it does that, I have run those clips just right next to each other, and it's seamless. Like, you don't notice even a transition when you're watching the video when you put those clips next to each other. Yeah.
Maybe it's because I only shoot in 2.7K, and it's never split up any of the clips I've had.
Like I said, it's probably a processing thing. Like they're crunching a lot of numbers when it's encoding on the fly, and just so you don't lose anything, they cut it. It's around 8 to 10 minutes. I can't remember exactly what it is.
Oh, really?
And then it and you don't notice it when you're recording. You only see it when you go to pull your files off, and that's it. Because I was like, before I realized what it was doing, because you know it titles the files like GPR and then 10 and then a consecutive number, and then let's say it's 10151 or something like that. Well, the extension of that will be 20151 and then 30151, 40151. So the number of the extension clip is in the beginning rather than like, you know, 151-1 or -2 or -3 or something like that. So when it first did that, my files all sorted those 2s, 3s, and 4s to the ends. Not that I had a 4, I've had a 3 one time, but it sorted them to the ends. And I'm like, where the hell's the rest of my file? It's like, I don't even know. And then I thought those were just additional files down there, but instead they were, they were the extensions of the other videos. So
crazy. Interesting. God, because maybe they've changed it for the 8, but I know with the 4 at least that you can change how it names the file. You have to dig around the app, but I haven't really needed to yet.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, I'll cross that bridge when I get there.
I guess. Hey, any luck on specifically because I was thinking about our video this morning and editing it last night, and then we talked about projects over the summer. But any luck on either getting rid of your trailer or finding a new one, camper trailer?
Oh, I'm still looking. You know, it's interesting. Like I've been looking on Craigslist, and there's a dude down the street who's selling his little RV. It's like I'm not sure if you probably are familiar with the Vanagon, like the Vanagon Westphalia pop-up top camper. Well, this dude down the street has an Astrovan version of that.
Astrovan?
Yeah, if you remember those. But
For sure.
The thing is,
that seems kind of small.
Well, I was like, since it's down the street, I've been biking by it, looking at it.
Yeah, for sure.
The only problem is that he wants a little too much money for it right now.
Yeah.
Because right now he wants $11,000 for it, and he's done a lot of work to it, but I'm like, man, $11,000, like I could buy a really nice trailer to tow behind my truck.
Yeah, I mean, but people that only want one thing though, I mean, that's the thing that's crazy about conversion vans and all kinds of camper vans is, I mean, you see those crazy like really kind of the newer ones that are a bigger van, a conversion van that got a nice little kitchen dinette inside and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, those are like $80,000 used.
Oh, I know.
And I'm like, Jesus, you could buy a 35-foot, 4-year-old Class A motorhome for that. Why would you buy a van for $80,000?
Well, it depends, though, because the vans they're based on, the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, they come with, they have 4-wheel drive options. So you can get basically to all sorts of places, which is what I imagine people are doing. They're just getting to crazy places with them.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose.
Because when I was thinking about, because I have also been looking at, Class A's, and I'm like, God, then I'd have to have like a separate vehicle, like maybe a dirt bike or something. I'm like, do I really want like another vehicle to like tow around? Yeah. Especially since some of these places, like I want to like go places and like record at mines for some of my future videos. And it's like, man, that's going to be like either a long walk, a long bike ride, or, a dirt bike.
Yeah. 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 Anyway.
So. It's also interesting. I've been like, obviously I started out with the urban exploration videos, and now I moved on to some of these videos put out by people who aren't necessarily archaeologists, but they have an interest in archaeology. And it's like, man, like no one has really been able to pull together like good, good video editing and good cinematography skills and archaeology yet. Cause like the ones I watch were people who are at least interested in archaeology. They're the most god-awful, boring videos I've ever watched in my life. Like, there was one, oh, God, he was doing a video near Bear's Ears, and it was an 8-minute video, and so I clicked on it, expecting to see the site he was talking about, because he was saying the site's been vandalized, blah, blah, blah. And it was basically, almost 6 minutes of him talking in his office, and then, like, at the very end, he put 2 minutes of the site, and I'm like, that's the opposite of what I want to see.
Yes.
And it's like, no wonder like these other, cause like the, at least the urban exploration videos where these dudes don't know anything, they mostly just put the site up and they're like narrating as they're going. But this dude literally just like, was taking B roll of the site and then like, spending the rest of the video just talking in his office. And I'm like, no, don't do that.
Yeah. 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 I don't understand people's aesthetic for video sometimes. I was looking up some videos on YouTube this end of last week to do some stuff on my boat, actually my boat trailer. And like this guy had like a 10-minute video on how to replace these fender sideboard things that I was looking at.
Yeah.
And really only like the last 3 minutes of it was actually replacing the fender sideboards. The rest of it was him just talking about different things like, oh, these types of trailers have this sort of thing. And I'm like, you titled your video, how to replace these things. Why are you giving me all this BS? Like, just show me how to do it. And if I want more information, put that at the end of the video. I want to click into something and have a step-by-step, So if you're going to tell me your video is about this, then make your video about that.
It's interesting. I feel like that's like a metaphor for like archaeology and why people prefer to get their archaeology information from non-archaeologists.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's really, you're right. It goes down to science communication. That's always a problem for scientists, is actually being able to communicate what they do in a way that people find interesting and will listen to and understand, which, you know, you get those same scientists trying to make YouTube videos, and sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not.
You know, who's a really good example is, the Brains Group Scoop, which I think is run by the Chicago Museum of Natural History.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their videos are really good.
Nice.
Yeah. And God, there was something else I was going to mention, but now I totally forget, which is super great for video here for live stream. You know, I also realized last night as I was editing my narration, I realized how much easier it, because, you know, obviously people might not realize it, but I did do some editing for the some of the archaeology podcast, podcast.
Yeah.
And last night I was realizing, wow, it's so much easier to edit when you've only got one track.
Yes.
And it's also easier. Yeah. Like, I realized, man, it's so much easier to, like, because on video, you can clearly see where someone, like, you know, where someone was talking and then they thought of something better to say. So then they cut that in. Whereas on when you're doing narration, you're just doing audio, it's much easier to make yourself sound, smart.
That's what I do with podcast editing all the time.
You know, it's just like, you know, one of my videos, God, I forgot. Hopefully it's going to come out like in June, maybe July, where I realized, wow, I fitted in like 8 or 9 or 10 you knows for like every minute. I'm like, my God, I really need to work on that. So I actually have been working on that, like when I'm actually like recording video, because like I realized like there are too many words that you lean on and you don't realize that until you're actually watching yourself. And the crazy part is that I don't do that in real life. I just do that on video.
Everybody does it. And it's same with podcasting. You might get somebody who speaks a certain way in real life if you're just sitting there having a conversation with them. But the minute you put a microphone in front of them, they get all crazy. And in fact, we talked about this at the podcast editors conference at PodFest last month.
Yeah.
And there were people who are emphatically against editing some people because that's just how they speak. And I'm like, how do you know if this is the first time, if this is an interview guest, let's say, and you've never heard them speak before, you just decided to interview them and contacted them. How do you know how they really are? Like, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and I'm going to delete a lot of these vocal crutches because I don't think that's how they are. But if they're like a, you know, movie star or TV star or radio star, or, you know, they're on something audio or video a lot, and maybe this is how people know them. And you like the common example is you wouldn't edit out Bob Newhart's stutter, right? Because that's Bob Newhart.
Yeah.
But other people you would. And if I don't know you and you don't have a big catalog of things out there where you are speaking, then I can't hear you speak naturally and I don't know you, then I'm going to edit those things down. And people are like, oh, we should keep them all natural. And like, no, that's just lazy editing. So that's what I like about, you know, good YouTube videos where, sure, it's great if you have people on camera that know and can speak clearly without sounding like they're nervous on the camera. That's great. But sometimes that just doesn't happen or sometimes it doesn't work. So if you can do a narration instead, man, you can really clean it up because it's like you said, it's so much harder to clean the video up because then it gets jumpy.
Yeah. Cause you know, you can literally see where you've cut something off. I mean, that's like most of where all the tricks I've learned for editing is just like, figuring out how to, make myself sound better or at least more like myself.
I think that's where the current style of, younger, YouTube videos, especially younger people where they've got the jump cut style because they suck so bad on camera and they just cut it all out, you know? So it turned into a style because they suck so bad. It's just like bam, 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 bam. And it's jump cut after jump cut. Yeah. And it's weird how it became a style when initially they probably didn't know how to do the fades. They probably didn't know how to do a dissolve. They just like picked up some shitty software or edited it in YouTube Studio and just like didn't know what they were doing. So now it's a style and I actually kind of like it. I can't lie. I like it in certain circumstances, but not every circumstance. You know what I mean? Sometimes I'll even do that. Like for our videos, I basically jump cut in the beginning because I'm cutting on a downbeat on the music. Yeah. And each measure, I'm like doing a different thing for the beginning of the video. So that has to be a jump cut. That wouldn't look good as a dissolve. But then later on in the video, I do a lot of dissolves. I don't like to do anything stupid or, you know, all these it's like too much PowerPoint effects. You know what I mean? I don't like a lot of that, but I will just do quick dissolves and things like that. So,
well, that's
but
a good thing that my computer is, you know, it's kind of like behind the times, because whatchamacallit, if I try to do any of the fancy dissolves on DaVinci Resolve, basically my computer will say graphic cards, your graphic card is maxed out.
Yeah.
And God, that's the thing that really sucks right now about everything being closed, because right now I can only edit one video at a time on DaVinci Resolve because I don't have enough, because of the way DaVinci Resolve handles its file structure. It uses a database. Right. And so when I was using Premiere Pro, my 1 gigabyte scratch drive, which I only use for like the video editor internal file structure. Mm-hmm. I don't actually put any footage on that file. You know, with Premiere Pro, basically, it I still had plenty of room. But with DaVinci Resolve, it literally, between DaVinci Resolve and my Windows backup, it takes up a whole gigabyte, and there's no footage on that drive at all.
Right.
So my point is that I bought a 4 gigabyte hard drive off of eBay, and now I can't install it. I mean, theoretically, I could try to do it myself, but I'm like, oh man, you know, this is like, this computer is vital. Like, it can't really be down. So, you know, I don't want to be screwing around with it for a week.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and it's like one of those things where God, maybe they're open and maybe I bring it in, but do I really want to bring it in right now, or do I want to wait?
Yeah. Chances are people aren't open, but they might be. Like, I really wish the Apple store was open so I could take this iMac in. Man, I've got so many issues with it right now. I mean, the two biggest issues are it keeps randomly restarting, and also the Bluetooth will cycle sometimes.
Really?
Like, it just turns off and back on again, and I lose the connection to my keyboard, my mouse, and my headphones. Ooh. and then it immediately turns back on. Like, I don't have to do anything, but then it takes a second to connect all those back in. And,
interesting.
Man, is that annoying? Yeah, I don't know what's going on. So, I mean, this is a very heavily used 5-year-old iMac. Almost, I think it might be 6 years old, actually, because I think I got it in 2014, right before that China Lake project.
Oh, wow. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You said that was also going to be your last iMac?
It might be my last iMac, actually. I mean, I don't know if I'll buy another one. I love the screen real estate, but I would honestly just rather buy a bigger display and hook an iPad into it, you know, something, because my iPad will take the keyboard and mouse the trackpad and keyboard.
Yeah.
And if I can hook a big display up to it, is your computer.
Oh, I was going to say, God, you know, you can with the new one, not the old one, because I think it's a restriction with Lightning port, but the new iPad Pro uses USB-C.
Yes. Yes, it does. And that's probably what I would get. I mean, this, if I'm going to, I would be willing to bet that if we go, full-time travel, I'm going to be upgrading this iPad, because my wife, her iPad Pro, which is the 10-inch one or 9-inch, whatever it is. But that one's still like one of the first iPad Pros that came out, because that replaced her iPad Air that she had for a while.
Yeah.
And actually we got it used from somebody at my co-working space. He was getting rid of it. He bought it about a year in and just wanted something different. So he got rid of it. I bought it off him at a really good price and gave it to her to replace her old iPad. But now we might, that one's getting kind of bogged down. So we might just replace, you know, give her my 12.1 and I'll get a new one with the USB-C so I can plug it into a display.
Oh, and I should mention now, because some people might have tried the keyboard and mouse support before, but Apple has basically, with the newest iOS update, has completely restructured the mouse support, because before it used to just be like an accessibility toggle and wasn't as good. Yeah. Like the new iOS has like real mouse support now.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. The only issue, like, I got my keyboard to hook up to it easily enough.
Yeah.
But the Magic Trackpad, I don't know if I can see it here. The Magic Trackpad, it turns out it will only connect to one device at a time. The keyboard easily connected to my iPad, and then I was able to use it, and then I could just disconnect it and connect it back up to my iMac. But the mouse I found out, or the trackpad I found out, has to be physically unpaired, like disconnected permanently from the iMac before I can hook it up to the iPad. Yeah. Which is a real pain in the ass. So I haven't tried it.
Interesting. I mean, you could probably get a used cheap one.
Well, I think I might be replacing this trackpad at some point, and I'm just going to hold off on that because this trackpad's been having some battery issues lately. I mean, it's also old. It's the same age as this iMac, and I think that battery inside it's lasting less and less amount of time. It's still good. I mean, yeah. And it's still, the nice thing about these is if you just plug it in with a regular lightning cable in your computer, it works just like a wired mouse. It doesn't need a battery at all. Yeah. But that's still a pain in the ass. And it's about I use these things for, you know, six on a light day and 10, 11 hours on a long day. I'm using that trackpad pretty much all day long, and it still goes like a week or two before it gives me a battery warning. But it used to go for like months at a time. So, you know
the coolest part about the new iPad is, I mean, it's not out yet, but the cool new floating keyboard, if you've seen it.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I think I have seen what you're talking about.
Yeah. Cause, God, for people who are on the, listening to this on the podcast, basically your average keyboard dock for an iPad, like it just looks like a Microsoft Surface, but the new one holds your iPad screen in the air.
Nice.
And it also comes with an integrated trackpad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although it should, considering it cost, was it like over $200, I think?
Was that from Apple or who makes that?
Yeah, that's the official Apple. That's the new Apple keyboard for the new iPad Pro. And it is cool looking. Like, it just makes the whole thing look so cool.
Because I want to take a look at this because I know there it is. Yeah, it is pretty neat. The one thing I remember seeing the keyboard, the one thing I am skeptical about on the keyboard is the real low profile keys, which can be real hard to learn and type on. And then also the trackpad that's built into the keyboard looks a lot like the one on the Microsoft Surface, which is garbage. Yeah. I hate that trackpad. Now, the good thing about this one is it looks like it lays flat on whatever surface you have it on, whereas the one with the Surface, so it hooks in magnetically to the backside of the Surface, and then that's the connection as well, so it's not Bluetooth.
Yeah.
But then it kind of just like kickstands up a little bit with the keyboard. And because of that, the keyboard itself and the trackpad are actually floating in air, and they're only connected to the ground in two points at the top and the bottom.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, you don't have the support behind the trackpad. And because of that, the trackpad is actually garbage. So
interesting.
Now it is a touchscreen. So if you get used to being a touchscreen, that doesn't really matter if the trackpad is garbage, but
true,
you know, so.
But the thing about the iPad Pro is now you can use all the touch gestures. At least hopefully you can use all the touch gestures. You never know.
Yeah, that would be cool. That trackpad is tiny though on this iPad keyboard. I'm so much used to a bigger trackpad. Let's see.
I mean, I assume that that Apple will be very happy to sell you an accessory trackpad for like $200.
Did you say the magic keyboard they're calling it was $200?
Yeah, $200 plus, I think.
Actually $299.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Yeah. This is backlit keys, scissor mechanism, 1 millimeter travel for quiet, responsive typing. Also, you better really understand how to use that.
Oof.
Folds into case to provide front and back protection for the iPad Pro. I don't see any pencil storage, which is annoying.
Oh, wait, I thought it was supposed to have integrated app keyboard pencil storage. I might be wrong.
Unless that's what this tube is on the back. I thought that was just a scissor mechanism.
No, I think that's what it is because most of the people have been mentioning that.
Yeah,
I might be wrong.
Okay, well, that would be cool. That would be really cool. Yeah, because that's one of the problem with a lot of cases right now is there's no pencil storage and you just end up losing the thing. Yeah. I have a space for mine in my backpack, so I'm not too worried about it, but
it'd be really annoying. Well, I do too, but mine always just pops out and gets lost, and I have to dig around the bottom of the backpack for it.
Yeah.
But then that might just be because I'm carrying like too much stuff in it.
You may have heard my pitch for membership. It's a great idea and really helps out. However, you can also support us by picking up a fun t-shirt, sticker, or something from a large selection of items from our TeePublic store. Head over to arcpodnet.com/shop for a link. That's arcpodnet.com/shop to pick up some fun swag and support the show.
I'm not sure if you read the New York Times, but this morning, one of the articles was pointing out that this whole crisis and the way that people are now telecommuting or working from home is like reducing the attractiveness of living in the city. And I was, you know, thinking, man, do you think that more people will be like looking to either A, move to a smaller city and just commute in now that, you know, companies can see that that's possible, or maybe they'll even like take up the digital nomad lifestyle?
I don't know, man. That's pretty hard for a lot of people to do, especially since a lot of these people that are commuting, I mean, I would say more people have kids than don't these days. Yeah. And that digital nomad lifestyle is probably not impossible, but definitely more challenging with kids.
Well, that's true. You know?
Because you've got to be like a full-time homeschooler or have some sort of remote way to do that and have constant access to internet.
Yeah.
But then also able to do your own work. So, but yeah. I could see people focusing on maybe a different type of living style, because maybe their home needs would change if they realized they were spending a lot more time there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was also thinking, man, how many more people, cause, I'm not sure, but if you've noticed, if you look outside, cause obviously I'm like right here next to my door and I have been seeing so many people, many more people with their own electric bicycle or, their own, electric scooter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people are seeing that they don't necessarily need a car. In fact, if business picks up, like Costco is actually selling this sit-down electric scooter. It's like, man, I kind of want one, even though I don't necessarily need two more wheels in this apartment.
Yeah, I think you've got enough. You need to pare down before you get some more.
Oh, I know. But the thing is, you know, it was like, man, Costco is selling this two-wheel electric scooter. I think they call it the Jetson. And I'm like, I really want that badly.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. You know what else is interesting that I've been thinking about it is how many people see that they don't need all the stuff they thought was vital. Like for instance, I've obviously cut down a lot on my smoking, like a lot of it. Now that the Reno Sparks or Sparks Reno Indian Colony Smoke Shop is closed.
Is it?
Yeah. So basically what I've got here is what I've got here. That's like all I'm getting until this whole thing is over.
Right.
You know, and obviously I also don't go to the coffee shop a lot as much as I used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're still, I know Old World and a few others have actually fully closed down because they got their payment protection plan thing.
Yeah.
But is like coffee bar still serving?
Oh yeah. I was just there this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And the one thing I want to try, even though it's sort of stupid when I think about it, is they have the drive up service. And then I asked, can I do that by bicycle? And they're like, yeah, sure. But then I was there this morning with my bicycle. I was like, it's kind of dumb. I was going to go inside and get my coffee.
Yeah. Hey, I'm taking a look at this Jetson Bolt folding electric scooter on Costco. It's $300.
Yeah. That's, it keeps popping on my Instagram feed. And I think, and it keeps saying available at Costco, come pick it up. And I'm like, man.
Yeah. I mean, it says folding, but the only part they show folding is the handlebar folding down. They don't show anything else folding in the diagram.
Well, that's
so
the
I
other.
Don't know what else
I mean, they're
on.
Tiny because that's one of the things. Because I saw someone riding one by and I'm like, I kind of want that. It's like so tiny.
Yeah.
Of course, it was also a tiny person riding it. So maybe it might not be big enough for me. But then again, for $300, if I'm just like riding to a bar and back.
I think it'd be fine for you. It says 250 pound maximum weight capacity, which you're well under. And then motor power is only 250 watts, which is a third of most electric bikes. But still, either it's going to be slower, which it probably is, slower than like 20 miles an hour, or it's going to have lower range, which again, you only need about 10 miles to get around town and back for you to charge it.
So. Yeah, even that. I mean...
Yeah.
One of the things I realized, I forgot if I mentioned this in last week or this week, but people they overestimate everything. Like not just electric bicycles, not the jump back and forth, but so many people have bought I was thinking about this. So many people have bought 8 lifetimes worth of hand sanitizer. Because I'm not kidding with you. Like I'm still using the same bottle that I had. I basically am using the same tiny little bottle. Like I don't even know what it's not in front of me, but it's like the little tiny travel size ones. I've had that for over a year and I've been using it for a year and it's still not over. And it's still not empty, even though I've been using it a lot more during this whole crisis.
Right.
And I even ran into like another one I had just like randomly stashed around in one of my other backpacks.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing for toilet paper. I remember you mentioned, I forget, you said you get the like the big Costco packs and that like lasts you a while.
Lasts a long time for us because we have a bidet. So, you know, you use way less toilet paper.
And I'm still using the same pack of toilet paper I had before this whole thing started. And I didn't, I don't get the giant one. I just get the one that could fit underneath the vanity in my bathroom. And I'm like, man, like people literally filled up their whole truck. It's like, what the hell are they going to do all this stuff when it's over?
Right, right. Yeah, we've used, we've used actually way less hand sanitizer than everybody else too. We never bought any, because when it came out, there was like none available. So we had some, we had like a small bottle, but honestly, we're in the house a lot. You know, people talking about washing their hands all the time. I mean, I wash my hands the same amount of times I normally would because my house is not filled with coronavirus. So, you know, I don't need to wash them more often than I normally would. It's just the normal amount of times. I mean, obviously if we go outside or if we get a delivery or something like that, then we'll, you know, we'll wipe off the stuff from delivery and then wash our hands after, before we serve ourselves. But that's just, you know, standard stuff. So.
Oh my God. You know, I just had the craziest thought just right now. I was thinking, cause you know, like since this whole thing started and we've been doing the live stream like remotely from each other, even though we're like, what, like six blocks away from each other, you know, the thing is that, we've been saying that this time is like a good time to like train yourself on stuff and like do home and like self-improvement. And I was thinking about all the people who are protesting and like wanting to recall the governor and everything. And I was realizing these are the people who literally don't want to change a single thing. Like they're perfectly happy with their life as it is right now and they don't want to improve anything. And it's just like, man, like these are the people who are really protesting so hard to go everything to go back to normal. And I'm like, man, like I literally just don't understand that, that mentality that of not wanting to improve yourself.
I think it's, for a lot of the people protesting, it really doesn't have anything to do with that. It just comes down to, it's the same group of people that anytime the government tries to tell them what to do, they resist it. So I'm sure they all cashed their $1,200 stimulus checks or spent that money. But you know, either way, did you get yours yet?
Of course. Direct deposit.
Yeah. We haven't gotten one yet. So.
Oh, wait, really? You get yours sent to you?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm getting the payment status not available online. Really? And I don't know what the deal is because we haven't actually received a refund since I started my business because you don't receive a refund when you own a business. You pay your taxes at the end of the year. That being said, I get my VA disability check every month. So that somebody has my direct deposit. But they also said it was based on your 2018 taxes unless you filed 2019. And one thing that we did was we our accountant filed our 2019 taxes about a week and a half before these checks started coming out. So I think it just hasn't been processed yet. Because 2019 was probably marked as received, they have to analyze it before they can send us the check. And they just don't have the people to stay on top of that. So they'll either send us a paper check later on, or I know they have the direct deposit info, but I just don't think it's going to happen for a while because like I said, they've got to take a look at our taxes. So, you know, I'm not too worried about it. Still getting paid, but you know, whatever.
You know, not to get too political, but I'm surprised that our president didn't just stop with putting his name in those checks. I'm kind of surprised he didn't put like his big smiling photo on it.
Right.
Like I was thinking, man, I wonder when he's going to start like maybe he'll take George Washington off the $1 bill or something and put his face on it.
So anyway, all right, man. Well, I think we should probably call it. I got more podcast editing and video editing to do today. So doing it.
Well, you know, before we go, anything interesting on the APM this week?
Well, let's see. I think we've got another CRM Arc podcast coming out on Wednesday. The Dirt Pod is coming out tomorrow. So if you're listening to this in real time on the 21st, of course, that comes out every Monday. So check that out. Let's see. Are they still doing this? Take a look at the Archaeology Podcast Network Twitter feed from, I guess it's Monday the 13th to today. I think today is the last, or tomorrow is the last day. The Pictish Memes is a, it's a Pictish Memes. It's a Twitter, account. And our co-founder Tristan has been talking to them and they we gave them access to our Twitter feed for a week, and they have been posting memes on our behalf. And they've been pretty good, honestly. Some of them are a little deep, and I probably don't understand them, which is fine. But some of them are pretty funny. So
I'm looking at that. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, take a look. So, and then let's see. Again, if you're listening to this in real time, Sierra Mark 188 on Wednesday, all about wearing headphones in the field and how the archaeology in the UK has been handling the shutdown. Ooh. And then this show will release on Saturday.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's interesting. God, haven't we been talking about headphones for like, 10 years now? I mean, shouldn't that just not be a thing anymore?
Dude, I'll tell you what. It shouldn't be a thing, but it always is a thing because people never have any clear policies around it. Like one of our hosts, she said they hadn't really thought about having a headphone policy for their company. And she never really thinks about it because they do a lot of excavation. And she said, you know, a lot of times they'll just have like a speaker or somebody will be playing music or something like that. And I was like, yeah, I mean, excavations, you got to kind of just play it by ear, no pun intended. Yeah. But I said for field survey, I almost prefer headphones because I used the example of the project we were last on. And I said, three of us had headphones and the capability of listening to stuff. And one person did not. Yeah. And when that person is getting chatty and it's windy out, you have to turn your head to hear what they're saying. And when you turn your head to hear what they're saying, you're not looking at the ground.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
I would almost just rather somebody had headphones in and was able to do that. That reminded me too. Most of the time, in fact, all the time, I should say, I'll only wear one headphone, right? Just because you need to have an ear out.
Yeah.
That is one downside to these Bose frames. Because I cannot shut one ear off. They're both on all the time, but you can still hear a lot of stuff because you're open to the outside. So I'm not sure that it matters that much. I'm interested to use these in a field work environment and I haven't been able to do that yet, obviously.
And, someone might correct me, but I want to say, cause obviously Apple AirPods have this too, where, it passes through ambient like noise or to people talking, but the Samsung,
that's the newer AirPods.
Yeah, but the Samsung ones, they also amplify what people are saying, as far as I know. I might be wrong about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, they probably do because Apple, like my current set of headphones will do that, my AirPods. But the newer AirPods have what Apple calls transparency mode, where it basically does just let in the outside sounds. And but the amplification thing, it's probably different the way Samsung does it because Apple has a different thing where it basically... It doesn't necessarily amplify, and this might be a different feature that I'm talking about, but they have a feature where you can basically take the, you basically turn your iPhone into a microphone. So anything that's coming in through your iPhone microphone, and the use case for that is somebody is sitting in the living room and they have their hard of hearing, but they don't have hearing aids, so they can wear the AirPods and stick their phone near the TV. So they don't have to crack up TV, their phone is picking up that audio and bringing it to their AirPods. But you know what people are probably really using this for. They're just leaving the phone in a room where someone's talking about them and then listening to that conversation on their AirPods.
Well, thankfully Samsung does it differently. Basically the earbuds basically amplify the noise. As far as I know, they amplify the noise. That way, supposedly if you're outside and like surveying next to someone, you don't have to like necessarily like lean in to hear them. You just hear them.
Yeah. Yeah,
which
but
strikes
can
me
you imagine
candier.
Wind noise?
Well, hopefully Samsung's taking care of that. But then they say they take care of a lot of things, and they don't.
Right.
Oh, one thing I did want to mention before we go out is that let's see, last month was my episode zero field archaeology adventures, but that wasn't like the real sort of episode. That was just sort of like you know, it just happened, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's what I put up. But see, next week, this Wednesday at 8 a.m. will be my first real show where I was walking around Randsburg.
Nice.
Yeah, it's not the greatest episode since I was still figuring out these first two episodes. I was still figuring out what I was doing and how I wanted to do it. Cool. But it's not that bad.
Nice. Yeah. Our very quick Randsburg segment will be on our next video next week as well. It's mostly the Trona Pinnacles, but then basically we just filmed us driving through Randsburg and I'll probably just put some narration over there. We didn't even get out of the truck. So,
oh, wait, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was just, I felt bad about it because there were a number of people in town, not a number of people, but there was like that one bar that was open and there was people inside and I was like, you know, with the virus and all that stuff, I'm just like, let's just stay in the truck. I don't want to freak these people out and get out and start walking around their town. So, so we just stayed in the truck for that one and kept on moving. Plus we were, you know, off a full day out of Toronto. So we're just like, let's go home.
You know, it's interesting. I was wondering, you know, when like you or Rachel go to the grocery store before we leave, do you wear a mask at all?
Yeah, we do now, but we haven't gone to the grocery store in weeks. So
yeah. And then, you know, when I was doing it, I was going to do Rayleigh's, but I was going to have them deliver eventually.
Yeah. I mean, we weren't using a mask the first, like in the latter part of March. And I think maybe even the first few days of April, because it really hadn't come out that you should yet. And, but I was in, I had to go to Lowe's on, Friday.
Oh really? Yeah.
And, yeah, for some stuff for my boat, because we need some, I needed some parts for it so we can go get it. And I wore my mask, a full mask in there. And there was probably about, there wasn't that many people in there, but probably half the people in there were wearing masks. And my favorite were, I saw at least two guys wearing like the full, like desert headscarf kind of thing, except not over their head. It was just over their face. And I was like, dude, you know, that's not actually keeping out or in any sort of virus, right? Like you could sneeze right through that and you could suck in virus through that.
Well, I think it's most, well, I mean, at least for, the mask that you get off Etsy, it's mostly just to keep, you know, you from infecting someone else.
Yes. But they've also said that the aerosols that you can sneeze out of a mask, which is really the problem, are still going through the air and penetrating the mask.
Yeah.
So it's like, I guess if it makes you feel better, sure. But I don't know that it's actually doing anything. So,
yeah, I mean, the only reason I bring that up is because I've been carrying my mask in my pocket just in case I have to go into someplace. But, you know, if I'm just biking around, I usually, you know, don't bother. And more importantly, I definitely like make sure to zoom away from anyone.
We've walked around the lake here a couple times and I wore a mask the first time and then haven't the last few times. And, you know, the paths are wide enough and stuff. You can just give people a wide berth. So.
Oh God, this morning I was listening to someone at coffee bar. They were chatting up the person who was manning the outside drive-thru station. And they're saying they basically did 10 miles walking around that lake.
Jeez.
Yeah, yesterday. I'm like, wow. Because I've walked around that lake before too, and that's slightly less than a mile. They go all the way around. So they
It's just under.
Yeah. So I'm like, man, that's like, wow, you're really bored. Like you need to do something else to improve your life.
Yeah, that's like 11 laps, which would probably take about 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. More importantly, I'm not sure if, well, obviously you just said you haven't gone to like a restaurant lately, but most of the restaurants here in town have gotten like much more stringent. I'm not sure if you've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, you're not going in, you can't go inside.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I went to my favorite Chinese restaurant the other day, and I went there 2 weeks ago, and they basically had their front, they had the dining room walled off, but you could still walk up to like the register and like pick up your stuff. Whereas now they have moved the register all the way to the door and there's only room there for like one person at a time.
Oh geez. Yeah.
Yeah. But it still doesn't keep people from being stupid. Like, like, oh my God. Like I was there and I was at the register waiting for someone to come and like give me my order because they were super swamped. And there was someone behind me and then someone comes up and like is trying to like literally like right on the shoulder of the person behind me and like trying to push their way in. And this lady is getting freaked out, the one right behind me, because he's like, I can't go in anymore. There's like no more room. And then this woman's like, my God, just go, you know? And it's just like, it occurred to me as I was standing there, this is the reason why this hasn't like gone away yet.
Yeah.
Although
it's the reason it's not going to go away when we lift all the restrictions.
Yeah. Although I will say, though, that at least in, I'm not sure if you've been paying attention to the news reports. One last thing to close out on is that most of the projections say we've already hit the peak or passed it. And I think, was it Thursday or Friday? It was the first day where the new infections actually dropped in the state.
Jeez, that's good.
Although the deaths have gone up, the deaths went up, but the new infections went down, which is a good thing. Hopefully we can get back to the field at some point.
Still over 500,000 people infected that were tested, and many more that have not been tested that were probably infected.
I know.
And it remains to see what's going to happen to them. So, you know, there could still be a lot more people die from this and if they don't figure out a way to get them through it.
Well, true, especially if all these protesters keep standing next to each other as they're like saying that there's no such thing.
And you know, some of them have it. So, you know.
I know. Like statistically, but then again, you know, I was telling a neighbor this yesterday. Not a good thing to end up on, but I'm like, man, we It's like, is it any wonder whether we're like the country that burn witches at the stake? I mean, how many people have like, you know, how many people are hashtagging Fire Fauci now? Even though without him, right. You know, we'd have, you know, we'd have our fearless leader, like, you know, leading us over the cliff.
Yeah. If we had any other president, then Fauci would be getting like a, you know, Congressional Medal of Honor or whatever the civilian equivalent is at the end of this thing. So,
yeah. Oh, and God, one last thing I did want to close out on since Windows 10 just reminded me, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but, like I have been getting so many, like people are getting like these online scammers that are getting so much more desperate. Like I have been seeing some crazy good phishing emails. Like one yesterday or the day before, like pretended that they knew my email and that unless I gave them $2,000 in Bitcoin that they were going to like spread all these photos of me all over the internet. I'm like, God, I'd rather have you do that than give you $2,000. But, and a lot of people are having their Facebook hacked. So just be like, for everyone out there, just be like a lot more vigilant and don't, you know, don't click on any email you don't know from. And more importantly, don't just click on an email just because it looks like it's legit. Double check, you know, click the header at the top and make sure that the sender is the real sender and not some fake email address, because that's, you know, a lot of people count on you not checking the header.
Right.
You know,
well, that is a good point to end on. Yeah. And you're totally right. Every time I see a weird email, I look at where's the sending address coming from, or on my Apple, I don't know how you do it on a Windows machine, but on Apple iOS, not iOS, but OS, I just hover over the send to address or some link in the email, it'll usually, you know, it says it looks like it's coming from Best Buy, but it's actually going to click on myads.com. And, you know, so just check those things. So, cool. Hey, I'll just mention real quick, if you want to join us live next time, this particular feed, since if you're listening to the audio version of this, you can go over to facebook.com/arcpodnet, ARCHPODNET. Like the page and you'll be notified when we go live. And then, of course, Richie has some resources.
Yeah, Happy Archaeology Fun Time. That is my website. That's also my email address and my fan page on Facebook. And nice. The Man in the Hat on Twitch.
Excellent. So, cool. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks, Richie.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to The Archaeology Show. Feel free to comment and view the show notes on the website at www.arcpodnet.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at arcpodnet. You can also find us on the Lyceum app, a podcast app just for educational podcasts. Music for this show is called I Wish You Would Look from the band Sea Hero. Again, thanks for listening and have an awesome day. This show is produced and recorded by the Archaeology Podcast Network, Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle in Reno, Nevada at the Reno Collective.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.
Thanks again for listening to this episode and for supporting the Archaeology Podcast Network. If you want these shows to keep going, consider becoming a member for just $7.99 US dollars a month. That's cheaper than a venti quad eggnog latte. Go to archpodnet.com/members for more info.